This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the Grace Creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken.
We are continuing our study of a remarkable Jesus. Sharon reads further in the 7th chapter of Luke's Gospel of a remarkable scene as Jesus meets a funeral procession in the village of Nain.
Thank you, Dennis. Sharon's reading continues in this 7th chapter of Luke as we continue to expound on the uniqueness of our Lord's ministry, especially his healing ministry.
Soon afterward, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country.
Thank you again, Sharon. I have had my wife read further in this 17th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, where we now step beyond what are called marvelous healings, even those with a mere word from afar. Now we are to touch on the miraculous, to deal with what is even beyond the experience of all but a minuscule handful. But here, if we don't understand it yet, we must. Here we are to see the very nature of Jesus, and yes, God, and also more. Here in this story, we have revealed the prophetic nature of that healing, for he knows who and what he is dealing with, and also why. As well, we will see the confrontational nature of his healing, confronting in some cases those hostile to his very ministry, confronting the cause of sickness, and in this case, the cause even of death, and then confronting all that sickness and death can bring to our lives. We also become aware, or should, of the absolute divine power that does reside only in Jesus. Here is embodied a perfect example of his ministry, the perfect answer for the disciples of John the Baptist, who will soon come asking the key question, "Are you the one to come, or should we look for another?" As we read here, Jesus in his customary way is traveling throughout the towns and villages of Galilee. His popularity has grown quickly, for now not only is he followed by a group of disciples, but a large crowd. And now he has come to the small village of Nain, about 6 miles southeast of Nazareth in the hills west of the Sea of Galilee. But this time, probably on the eve before the Sabbath, before any synagogue service, before any confrontation can even occur with the religious elders of this town, before anyone can accuse Jesus of anything, As he just arrives outside the village, Jesus and those following him are confronted by a funeral procession, leaving the town, making their way to the area of caves and tombs to the south of the village. Here, too, was a large crowd. Obviously, the entire town was grieving with this poor woman. Luke endeavors to bring us into the emotions of this scene with two short phrases. The dead man was the only son of the woman, who was also a widow. We are to picture one lone woman, either leading or immediately following the four men who are carrying the bier with her dead son upon it. Jesus simply knows, but we are to see the pathos of this scene, the heart-rending sight of a woman now alone in life, her only child, her son is dead, as is her husband. And on top of this grief, she now has no one to provide or protect her. There was little hope and fewer prospects for such a woman. And as such, the town mourns with her. Her plight is fully appreciated by all. Here, two bodies of people meet outside one insignificant village. Here, the Lord of Life meets death, and everything will soon change. What is vital to appreciate is that no one asks Jesus to do anything. He is not approached, and we are led to believe that no one even speaks to Jesus. It is possible at this point that Jesus is not even known by sight. It may not even be known who he is. And it is here for the first time Luke refers to Jesus as Lord. Here he is revealed fully as the Lord and ruler of all. Here it is first emphasized who he is. And Jesus has seen enough, and he knows enough. One lone elderly woman with her dead son being carried to a tomb. He can be part of this tragic and sad event, or he can change it all. He tells the broken and distraught woman to stop crying, to cease her sorrow. This is indeed a most astonishing request, with the most incredible promise underlying it. All born, as Luke describes it, from a great compassion, the extension of his care and love. That is his nature. He cares. But such a statement as this, to cease weeping, carries with it something far more. And soon there would be no need for tears, but only that of rejoicing. Now Jesus does something which would be remarkable for any other Jew. He steps forward and touches the bier. The word here in Greek is soros. It can mean a coffin, but clearly here it means an open bier, with the young man wrapped in linen straps, heavy with the pungent and aromatic herbs and gums, as much as the poor widow could afford, with his face still uncovered. Such funerals would of necessity be the same day as death, or early the next day as possible. Jesus, in touching this, stops its progress, and it is not the only thing he will stop. Now he will stop pain, sorrow, and even death. And in touching it, Jesus would be made unclean. But such ceremonial uncleanliness is not something that troubles Jesus, be it touching lepers, Sabbath instructions, or now even death. Jesus, in every case, will turn what will make one unclean to be clean. As he stops the procession, the bearers, and the large crowd, he speaks not a word, except to the young man. He speaks, and it is almost a command. He speaks as if the young man could hear and obey. It is clear that Jesus calls the young man to life through his own will and the power resident in him. This is not only the healing of whatever caused the young man's death, but the miracle of calling him again to life. It is then Luke tells us that Jesus gives the young man to his mother. Such a gift. It is such gifts as these our Lord loves to give his people. His compassion was always for the poor, distraught widow. His desire is to see her life as a woman, as a mother, and her place in the community restored. As I said, this is more than just a healing. It is miraculous and reveals the character of Jesus, his nature, why he came, and his mission. It underscores that Jesus, that our God, is loving and compassionate. He desires to meet our every need in Him. But as we discover here, it is only Jesus. It is always only Jesus. As I have tried to emphasize time and again here, it is only in Jesus we find deliverance, well-being, restoration, healing, and especially life, spiritual life as well as any life. We even today are to look to Him, not our little or perhaps large congregational gatherings, not to individuals, no matter how spellbinding or persuasive. We are to look only to Jesus. This can be confusing to many who are caught up in the particular and unique distinctions of their own particular Christian group, or the popularity or power of a particular pastor or televangelist or radio minister for that matter. Our focus, our desire must be centered, evolve around, be grounded in the life, ministry, death, and yes, resurrection of one man, Jesus Christ. Everything in our faith, everything for and in our life, especially when it comes to our well-being, our wholeness spiritually, and our physical healing, is only in Jesus. And this is also what we find in our story. There is an inability to see only Jesus. The villagers are reduced to fear, which may be understandable. When one snatches a man from death's icy grip, this is a demonstration of power that should make anyone tremble. They rightly glorify God, but it is a pity. As much as Judaism did, they failed to see Jesus as more than a great prophet. This was indeed the highest accolade these villagers could imagine, but it is sad that they failed to perceive that here is far more than a prophet. For in this story, Jesus does not even plead with God. We have no record of Him even praying. He commands the dead to life. Yes, they correctly interpreted this as God's visitation, but they should have taken the next step and recognized in Jesus His messianic status, for that is what their words do imply, but even more. But for Jesus at this point, it is enough that this incident, this miracle, the news of it spreads throughout the countryside and beyond. The news of a great miracle, a great prophet, and God's new visitation upon His people. This will all add to the regional stirrings, the rising expectation. No wonder He will be constantly confronted by the religious leaders now, asking for signs, asking to be told if He is the Messiah, all of which He does answer indirectly by pointing to what He has already done. As He will do for the disciples of John the Baptist when they come with their questions and, yes, their doubts. It must all be enough for us as well. It is Jesus, only Jesus, where we will find resident such wonderful grace and power. Only in Him will we find such love and compassion to touch our every need. But remember, as I have frequently alluded to, Jesus more often than not heals, delivers people who have not asked, were not even seeking Him, and often didn't even know who He was. This is certainly the case here. They may have known of Jesus, but no one asked Him to do anything. Yet there is Jesus stopping four bearers, and with a few words stopping a funeral procession. It is only Jesus, no one else. It is His doing, no one else. It is for His purpose, no one else. He heals on the Sabbath that He might show what the Sabbath was for, and that He would bring us all into a new realm. For as the Lord of the Sabbath, He would bring us to a continual Sabbath rest, a place of blessing, eternal blessing. It is not about rituals, ceremonialism, not about special days. It is about Jesus. He came to the centurion's home to heal his servant, not because the centurion was worthy, not because of the nice things that were said about him. He had come to heal the servant, and He would do so by a mere word, by a power that only He possessed. It is and always will be only in Jesus. As with the man at the pool of Bethesda, the man born blind, the man with the withered hand, and of course there is Lazarus. In practically every case, Jesus clearly acts without one plea, without anyone seeking Him out, and apparently often without even a prayer. Prayer is something that is part of His very existence. He lives prayer. In each, it is but a word. We might even say a word of command. It would seem that with prophetic insight, divine wisdom, Jesus knows. He knows of the withered hand. He knows the man was born blind, that Lazarus is dead, and that it is the only son, and his mother is a widow. There is nothing he does not know, and he knows our needs as well. And in each and every case, Jesus comes to restore what so many have squandered. Only Jesus can do so. Only he has the perfect prophetic insight. Only he possesses divine power. And especially only Jesus has such deep compassion to touch us all at the point of our need and deepest desire. It is never something that we can somehow stir up and manage in our own strength or ability. It is only Jesus. Only he will or can. Only he has made our well-being, our wholeness, part of his very being. He has raised the young man and given him to his widowed mother. He will so restore us, I believe. It is who he is and why he has come. It is why the cross and always the resurrection. It is his purpose, our wholeness, our healing, our salvation. It is all part of the same grand purpose, the same graciousness and love. Even in our incompleteness, our ignorance, he is there in his compassion to restore and heal. But it is only Jesus. For his plans, his desire, as he moves and he will, for it is only Jesus. O Lord, that we might come to the realization that it is not in men or women, but only in you that there is our salvation, our wholeness, our healing, and our eternal hope. It is in Jesus, only Jesus, that we will find all that we need. O Lord, indeed, may thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, all for thy glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
This fascinating encounter with one forlorn widow does once more reveal our Lord's deep compassion for all of our needs. It will also provide further light on the astonishing and unique figure of Jesus. Dr. Wyatt is again this week offering his study titled, It is Jesus, Only Jesus. Here is a concise and fascinating study of just how critical and important Jesus Christ is for each of our lives and our entire world. You will want this study for your own, so do write and ask for It is Jesus, Only Jesus. It is yours at no charge. Dear ones, we pray you have been touched by the Wings of Healing ministry and that even in these financially challenging times, you will consider being a part of this outreach. By supporting this ministry, a gift large or small can do so very much. Our address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. One could go on forever on the subject of our Lord's uniqueness and his power. We have all experienced his touch, guidance, even his enablements. He will meet our needs, as he did surely of Virginia, who has been struggling with pain, insomnia, ill health, and Jesus, she reports, after years of struggling with it, all of it miraculously gone. Life is really good again. I do believe if we just trust him, be content in him, life is good, irregardless. Dennis will provide our addresses once more, but now Brett Younger sings, How Great is Your Love, and until next week, do trust in the Lord.
From the darkness, I called your name. In into darkness, your mercy came. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love? You bore my weakness, you took my shame.
Sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available. Dr. Wyatt is also offering this week to all who will write a copy of his book also titled, It Is Jesus, Only Jesus.
Now, this is an insightful study on the unique healing ministry of Jesus. So when you write this week, ask for "It is Jesus, only Jesus." It is yours at no charge. Our addresses once more are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6J4N1. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time and remember what God has promised to those who love Him.